The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Does anyone actually know what's going on here?
I literally have no idea.
Help.
We're 20 whatever.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello, and welcome back to 20 Whatever.
Woohoo.
Here we go.
This is the first episode that we're filming after the launch.
Yeah.
So the first ones we filmed, and we're like, oh my God, we love it. But like, we don't know how it's going to be received.
Right.
And so now, like, I feel like I have a whole new confidence sitting down, because I'm like, everyone was so sweet and supportive and like encouraging. I'm like, we're doing the thing.
Yeah. I wanted to get back after the first, like after launching the first episode, and come back and be like, okay, guys, we did it.
We did it.
We did it. We were in the group chat like, you guys are freaking out. We did it. We launched. It's happening.
I know. I'm so happy that everyone's loving it so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So ever since the launch, our lives have never been the same.
Right.
Yeah.
We went to Disneyland sometime last week, and which obviously, like, Disneyland is where dreams come true. We all know, right? Happiest place on earth. And we're walking around, right? I think we're like taking a break. We're like going to the bathroom, whatever. And all of a sudden we hear, hey, Ryan and Paloma.
Hi.
Hey, hi. And we like, honestly, I just thought it was somebody we knew, like, yeah, you know, like whatever. We turn around and it's somebody that we don't know. And it was a viewer of 20 whatever and like all of our channels and everything. And she was like, hey, like, I watch your channel. Like, I saw that you guys were here. I saw you, and I like had to run over and come say hi and all this stuff. And we were like, I remember standing there. I feel like I blacked out.
I think, well here's where I still remember so vividly the first sentence she said to me. She was like, hi. And she looked at me and she was like, I know you from the internet. And I was like, oh, me racking my brain of like everything. Like,
no, you don't.
I know. I was like, it was just so, I was taken aback because for no sure one has ever been like, I know you from the internet. And I was like, and then she said our names and I was like, oh, this person like knows me.
Knows
yes,
us, yeah.
Hi. And yeah, I'm a listener. And I was like, oh my gosh. And like, then Ryan and I are just like looking at each other like, yeah, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And she's like, I just wanted to say hi. And we were like, can we get a picture? Like, I'm
yeah,
like,
we asked her to take a picture.
Can I take a picture with you? Because I couldn't believe I had to tell my mom someone recognized me.
Right.
So we got our picture.
And it was so sweet. And we talked to her for about like, I don't know, like 10 minutes. And then, you know, she walked away. And we were standing there like processing everything that had happened. And we were like, okay, that was crazy. But like, okay.
Day is made. Like, this is so awesome.
We love that.
Yeah.
Not even 2 minutes later, someone else comes up to us and is like, hey, same thing. We watch your work.
Congratulations
on the launch. Like, blah, blah, blah. We were like, what is happening? Like, what is happening right now?
And then her boyfriend comes up and is like, do you mind if we can get a picture? I was like, absolutely, yeah, anything you want.
Literally anything. It was.
That's so
it was
special.
Magical.
That's
yes
so special. When you guys sent me the pictures, I was like, Steven, look at this. Like, it's happening for them. And it's so special meeting someone who, like, because we're sitting here talking about our lives for like an hour every week. Like, that's a lot of personal content.
Yeah.
But it can feel like it's just us.
Yeah.
You know, and you see the numbers, but what does that really mean? And then to meet someone in person who says like, hey, I not only do I know you, but like, this has impacted me and I really love this.
Oh, when one of the girls that came up to us mentioned to me, she was like, I love watching you and I feel so seen, like you as a Latina. And she's like, I listen to you. And I was just like, oh my gosh, yes, yeah, Latina.
Right. It was a really sweet moment. And it felt like it just felt surreal because you think like, oh, this happens when you reach like a certain amount of like followers or like, you know, a certain amount, like it feels like numbers, right? Like, oh yeah, when I'm like doing the thing, then people, but it was like, it felt so wholesome. Also, I was like, should we be friends?
Yeah.
Like, are we friends?
So sweet. And I think that's something also that caught me off guard was one of them said, thank you so much for being so nice.
Oh yes. That's.
And I was like, thank you for being so nice. And we were like, thank you for literally coming up and saying hi. Like, just what do you?
Then we thought about that afterwards. We were like walking around and we were like, that is also kind of sad.
It is. Yeah.
Like, you're thanking me for being a nice person. Like, that means that either you haven't had good experiences meeting mm-hmm. other people, or like, or honestly, maybe like the assumption that like influencers or whoever is like not very kind.
Yeah. And something I try to do whenever I'm like meeting viewers is, like you said, just be nice, be kind, ask them about themselves, talk to them, learn their name, because I have such clear memories of good and bad stage door experiences when I went to meet actors after the show. And like, I remember the things that they did that made me feel like they were being so kind, that made me feel seen. And I try to like do that as well.
Right.
Because while that is, you know, for someone who this happens to all the time, that's only a couple minutes of their day. For the person that's meeting them, like, that's something that they're going to remember for a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's like, what can you do to make them feel valued and seen? And it's such a cool experience. And I'm so glad that you guys got to have that.
It was really crazy.
It was the highlight of our day.
Yeah.
At least personally.
No, same. I mean, and the fact that we were at Disneyland was like so ridiculous. You know,
and we really were like, okay, where dreams come true.
Yeah.
Right. No, this same. Is so do you awesome. Remember the first time someone came up to you?
I do. And you will never forget this first time for you, because I still remember mine. It was in a Sonic drive-thru. I was driving home from work when I was working at a theater. And I stopped at Sonic on the way home to get one of those delicious 69-cent slushies.
Yep.
Right.
And I had maybe 10,000 followers on YouTube. I had just really started to pick up a little bit of steam. And the girl at the window was like, hey, you're Sierra. And same thing. I thought we did a show together. We went to high school, played soccer or something. And she was like, you know, I really love your videos. My cousin showed them to me and we watched them together. And I was just blown away. I could not believe it that someone who wasn't like my mom was like, hey, I saw your video.
Right.
Oh. Right. Yeah.
And it's special. And it's, I mean, I still like, it still makes my day when someone comes up to me. And, you know, I think I'm really lucky that I'm in a spot where like that happens, you know, from time to time, like maybe once a day if I'm out in public, but it's not like overwhelming. So it is still really special to me when I meet someone who's a viewer, and that specialness, like, it doesn't go away. Like every time you meet someone, maybe it won't be the same as the first time,
yeah.
But it's still like super special.
Well, I feel like when that happens, you kind of have that like, okay, like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, people are really like taking away something good, you know, enough to come up to me and be like, I watch your stuff. I really like you. I'm this and that. I'm like, okay, this feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since you've had so many experiences, have you had some that were like not so great?
Not like actually meeting and talking to someone. The only like odd thing that's ever happened is, I remember one time I was at Target and I was very pregnant and I was in pajamas and just like not looking my best, whatever. I'm at the self-checkout. I'm like feeling like crap. I'm just getting my stuff and going.
Right.
And someone took a picture of me and then DM'd it to me and was like, is this you? I saw you at the Starbucks or at the Target checkout. And I was like, first of all, I was like, I didn't respond, but it's like, I would have so much rather have that person just come up and we could have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then also for a long time after that, it made me always kind of like, is someone watching me?
Right.
Like, is a photo going to be taken of me when I'm not expecting it? Because even though I was in my pajamas and feeling kind of crappy, if someone had come up to me and asked for a photo, I would totally do it. And I would be fine and happy with that because I'm like aware of the photo being taken.
Right.
But I think that's the only time that I felt kind of like I was not being viewed as like a full person, you know? And I think a lot of the times with really big celebrities, when you see videos of people like chasing Justin Bieber down the street, like they're not viewing him as like a real person, like a human being.
Right.
And I feel like I never really have that. Like, my viewers very much view me as like a whole person, which is very nice.
Yeah.
And that's probably the only time I felt like a little, oh, this is uncomfy.
Yeah. No, that's weird.
Yeah. But that was only once. So not
rather
bad.
Just come up and say hi because we would love
to
say
hi. Take a picture. Take a picture.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
But this was kind of like the perfect little kickoff of our topic today, which is about mental health and social media and how do you balance that. And I think we have really interesting perspectives on this because I'm someone who's been in the game for a really long time. Ryan, you have too. You're just starting to kind of get into this stage of like being an influencer, doing this as your full-time job. And then Paloma, this is all very new for you.
Very new. It feels so new because I was doing Instagram when it first started, like Instagram launched. And I remember I was the one that even like set up the Instagram for the store that I was working for. Like I was all Instagram, everything, and I would upload everything. And then I got to a space where I was like, I think I'm doing too much and I'm not regulating this properly. So then I kind of like took a step back from social media. And then I kind of liked the cleanse. But then when I was meeting people, like my friends, they'd be like, Paloma, you like fell off the face of the earth. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I didn't fall off the face of the earth. I just haven't been posting like my stuff. But I was always getting like, Paloma, you never post. Like just kind of comments like that. And I was like, not feeling left out, but just kind of like, oh my gosh, people forget about you, I guess, if you're not posting, if you're not showing your face every day. And so then I was just like, is it really important? And it just, you know, just going through all of that, like, do I even need it or not? And then I realized that once I started like slowly getting back into it, that I was making more community online, like connecting with friends that I weren't seeing as much, or just friends and family from Mexico, and or just keeping contact, you know, and that's what social media really helps us do, which is stay contact, see what's up. And I was like, oh, that's kind of nice that it's helping me do that. And then I started shooting again and started editing again. And then I got the bug and I was like, because I used about 5 years ago, I would do like travel vlogs and I just like loved editing it. But I forgot. I think that once you get out of it, you're like, I forgot that creative outlet for me. And so then this recent time doing the Disney vlog, when I started editing it, like I was 10 minutes in and I looked at Ryan and I was like, Ryan, I have missed editing so much. And it's so fun, like just sitting there and editing my video or actually shooting it. It was just something that I was like, this is something that I really want to get back into. And I want to make sure that it's for the right reasons and that I can also regulate, like not get too much into it. So I actually want to hear from you two and you specifically, Sierra, like how you manage to keep it healthy. And you're like, I'm not just scrolling aimlessly and just doing too much and doing it with a positive impact.
Yeah, I think that's something I am very much still working on. So if you have any tips, let me know. But I think specifically for like starting out, one thing I see a lot is people burn themselves out really quickly because they get that bug, right? They're like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm going to vlog every day for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then by like day 15, they're like, I never want to do this again.
Right.
And what if instead they did a vlog, maybe two vlogs a week, and then they rode that wave, that energy for so long. And I think if people are wanting to get in that, like if they're feeling really motivated, right? Yeah. Batch film. You don't have to post every day. Film a bunch when you have all that motivation. And then you've got content for a month.
Right.
And that was helping me with TikTok because you totally batch it. But I felt like I was like, oh, my goodness, with YouTube, I'm like, I feel that I have to be doing something spectacular. You know, like, what are they going to find interesting? Like a day in my life? Like,
they will. That's the thing.
I'm like, you watch my videos and you live with me and you still watch them.
You know, I love her videos.
You know what's the craziest thing to me? And I've talked about this on like a lot of panels and stuff. I had this realization that people care much more about me doing boring things than me doing exciting things because it's more relatable. I had gone on this amazing trip to Europe with my family and I was like, this content is going to kill it. Cause I'm in London. We're doing all these cool things. We're in Venice. It's like so cool. Those vlogs did pretty well. But then I came home and the first video I did back was a Target haul and that one did way better. And I'm like, why do people want to see me shopping at Target more than me in London?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, because they're probably not going to go to London, but they're probably going to go to Target.
Right. They're like, okay, what did Sierra get? Writing that down.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that you have to decide, I think, if you want to be inspirational or aspirational, right? Inspirational is I'm living a similar life to you. You know, of course, everyone has their differences. But you do a lot of the same things and you can relate to them.
Yeah.
Aspirational is like, I want to be you. Like, I would love to live this life. Like, right when you follow people who do like luxury hauls and right. like they're flying on a private jet, that's not your life, but it's aspirational. And I think that was kind of my realization of like, okay, I'd rather be inspirational than aspirational.
Mm. Right. And that's such a small shift in your mind when you're creating content right. because you think the first thing to do is something cool and mm-hmm. never before seen, you know, yeah. but I guess it really is just something that makes us feel more human and connected.
Yeah. yeah. And so. At the end of the day, I think that's why people like YouTube over traditional media,
mm-hmm.
because there's that lower barrier to entry where there's not a like big media team crafting everything perfectly and making it amazing and exciting. It's one person.
Yeah.
And or maybe a small team, and they're making this and then they're posting it, and it's there's less of like a veil between the audience and the creator.
It right? feels more inclusive than it does exclusive.
Yes.
Like, I feel like obviously celebrities, like that's exclusive. Like, you're not getting in. Like, mm-hmm. that's, you know, big boy playground. But like YouTubers and influencers feel like you could, you know, you could hang with them and you could like,
yeah, kind we're
of
friends.
Yeah, we're yeah. friends. Yeah.
And I think bringing it back to the mental health aspect, that can bring some challenges too, right? Because people like celebrities, but they don't necessarily feel like they're friends, right?
Right.
And then with YouTubers, there is more of that like close relationship where they feel like they know you. Maybe they feel like they, you know, deserve some sort of access to your life
right.
and your personal feelings and beliefs and struggles. And sometimes you want to share that, but sometimes you don't. And I think there can be this pressure of like, I have to share everything.
Yeah.
Because they're my friends.
Right.
Right. But you don't share everything with your friends.
That's true.
So why do you feel the
I
need?
I thought you
like-
told me everything. But honestly, I think yeah. that's also a little piece of why what it was kind of hard for me to also get back into social media was because I was off for so long, and then I wanted it to be perfect on what I started posting. And I was, I guess, worried of being perceived as not like the cookie cutter, like how I wanted it. And then so like left for mental health reasons, because I was like, I'm just doing too much social media, this is not good for me. And then I was gone for too long that for my own like another piece of mental health, I was like, I don't know if I can come back. What if they judge me? What if they don't like me?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, as we mentioned in our episode before, I can't give those words meaning, and I'm yeah. just gonna pretend that it's a different language and I can't understand it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My
yeah.
favorite is what other people think of me is none of my business.
I love
yep.
that.
Yep.
I also love that.
It's
one.
So hard, though, to like actually, it's easy to say, it's hard to put in practice. I think, especially being a people pleaser, I'm like, I want everyone to like me. But if 100,000 people are watching my video, they're not all going to like me. That's not possible, right? And that's okay. But I think sometimes I catch myself trying to change myself
mm-hmm.
for those people who are criticizing me. And sometimes criticism is valid, right? Like if I am using language that's not inclusive, if I misspeak, if I do something wrong, like call me out. But the more so the criticism on my personality, my life, that when I start to change myself to fit all of that, I lose who I am. And I think I started struggling with that, particularly on the vlog, which has been interesting because vlogging has always been kind of like my safe space.
I was literally about to say that.
Yeah, and it still is. But what I noticed is the comments on the vlog, because it is so personal, a lot of the times it's like little nitpicky criticisms of like, you're doing that wrong, you're doing this wrong, especially about parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's about safety, which I understand, because right. like if I'm doing something unsafe, like, yeah, let me know. I want my child to be safe.
Right.
But guidelines differ in every country. So I all the time get comments of like, you can't give your child spinach. What are you doing? And it's like, okay, in Germany, they don't recommend giving spinach before 2 years, but I don't live in Germany.
Right.
So I can only, I mean, if I followed every guideline in every country, that's, and also that's kind of ridiculous because people offline aren't expected to hold to that standard.
Mm-hmm.
But what is so interesting is I noticed that I was starting to anticipate those comments as I was filming before
yeah.
I even saw it. If I'm like cooking, gardening, talking about my life, talking about parenting, I can hear in the back of my head what I think people might say. And I started feeling like I had to give a disclaimer to everything I did, like literally everything. I have to give a disclaimer. Disclaimer, I am not a specialist. I am not this. I am not that.
Right.
This is not meant to make anyone feel bad. Da 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 da. And it got to the point where I was like, why am I giving all these disclaimers? Like, right. either talk about it or don't.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's kind of where I'm at now of like, I will occasionally give a disclaimer here or there if I feel like it's really necessary. But most of the time, if it's something that I feel like is really going to rile people up, I'd rather just not talk about it than give this long ass disclaimer.
Right.
And if it's something I care about, and I know people are going to say something about it anyways, but I don't care, I'm going to talk about it.
Do you think that those little disclaimers that you were giving back in the day, like, actually were helping, or you were still getting other?
No, it brought attention to it to people that didn't notice.
Oh.
You know, if I said, like, you know, something like cooking for Grace, I feel like is a good example. Like, oh, I'm doing this for Grace, but like some people don't do this, but I do. And da da da. Like, I did this thing called baby led weaning, mm-hmm. which like our pediatrician recommended it. I felt the need to say that every time before I did it. I'm feeding this because we're doing baby led weaning because our pediatrician recommended it because the AAP says, and it's like, why am I just show the freaking omelet?
Yeah.
It's really not that big of a deal.
Right.
But I felt like this pressure of I have to be this like perfect person who everyone likes, who never shows anything that could possibly be misconstrued in any way. And it got to the point where I was just like, you know what? This is my life. And I don't think there's anything wrong with these things that I'm doing. But I think a lot of the times with comments, it's easy for me now to like push aside the ones that are like critical of like my appearance or like my body. Like, I am so past that,
right.
you know, like that used to bother me. And that's here is gone. Like, I don't care. But when they hit things that I'm already insecure about, that's tough.
Yeah.
Like, I am deeply always fearful that I'm not spending enough time with Grace. That is like something I think about every day. And I know it's so common for working moms that like they worry that they're missing out on things, that they're not there enough. And I get comments that are like, aren't you afraid that you're missing out on Grace's life? Don't you think that you should be with her instead of working? And I am already insecure about that. So that hits hard.
Right.
But I have to remember, no one says that to Steven.
Right.
And I only work 3 days a week. Steven works 5.
Right.
And I am the breadwinner in our house, but no one suggests that I should keep working and he should quit to not miss out.
Right.
Mm. And when I think about that, I'm like, oh, this is just misogyny.
I said, yeah. We love some misogyny.
I think reframing it like that is helpful, but still when someone comments about something that you already kind of believe or are fearful of, it's hard.
I also feel like the people that want to talk about you are going to talk about you anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you disclaim, don't show, whatever. Like, if people want to talk, they will.
Yeah.
And they're going, and they are.
Yeah.
So, like, it's too hard to try to please everyone. One, because you can't, and your haters will continue to be your haters, whether mm-hmm. even if you're doing stuff that right. they want you to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They'll find something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's always that little piece that just want to always make sure that you're brought down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard too, because a lot of those comments actually don't come from haters. They come from people who have like genuine concern. But it's still like kind of, it's hard. It can be irritating sometimes. Like, I filmed when Kenzie and I were filming at Old Navy. I was doing like a haul and I was filming in the car, and there was no child in the back seat, but Grace's car seat was facing forward because it's one that swivels for like easy entry and then mm-hmm. you turn it. But in the video, you could see that the car seat was facing forward. I got hundreds and hundreds of comments and messages telling me the dangers of a forward facing car seat, why I need to be careful, that it's wrong, that I'm a bad parent. Grace doesn't ride in a forward facing car seat.
Right.
Right.
But, and I wasn't even talking about car seats. It was just visible. I understand the concern, right? If she was forward facing, like, that is unsafe. But I didn't say she was, and I didn't show anything. And so it's just hard, right? I'm not mad at those people for saying that. For the people who did it in a respectful way, you know,
right.
little mad about the people who said I'm a bad parent, but right. you know, the people who were just trying to educate me, I understand. But it's still then now every time I film in the car, I turn around and make sure her car seat's facing backwards.
Right.
Right.
And that's one thing. But then when it becomes 10, 15, 20 things that you're checking every time before you film, it starts to feel like more of a performance.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you, like, I don't know, like, for your mental health, how do you get past that? Like, I mean, yes, it's like you got to remind yourself. They don't know. Like, for example, in that moment, you're like, okay, yeah, you guys didn't know the car seat, but how can you let that not affect you and just be more okay with, like, you guys just are not going to understand? Because sometimes, obviously, you're not here on set.
I think number one is like I was saying at the beginning, just kind of saying, you know what? If people are going to say something about this, that's fine. You know, mm-hmm. like I can't change everything about me. I can't check everything in the background, you know? Otherwise, it's not authentic. You know, it's not me just pulling out the camera. It's me pulling out the camera and then checking to make sure everything's perfect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I think I've tried to just go away a little bit from feeling like I have to explain everything. But then also, right, if there are things that I just don't, I'm not in a headspace to hear comments on, it's okay not to share everything.
Right.
People don't have to have access to everything about you.
Right.
And there are things in my life that I keep private. You know, I've been very open about my mental health online. I have bipolar disorder. I've struggled with depression. But I've made the decision to talk about that stuff kind of after the fact. I'm not going to film myself like sobbing, crying in a depressive breakdown. If someone else feels empowered to share that, I think that's great. I personally am not in the headspace where I'm open to receiving criticism and feedback on what I'm like in my
going through.
Yes.
Right. That's really good to know. And I just ask because personally, as I'm starting this journey of putting more of myself out there, I'm like, how can I make sure I can already hear that voice in my head? Like, how can I make sure that I'm not showing an aspect that I don't know. I'm just trying to like censor. Maybe that's a good word. I'm just trying to censor myself or overly explain and things like that. So I know it's something that I'm going to have to work at, obviously. And I'm just going to take that notes here.
Yeah, I think the more you can shut that voice off and be authentic, the more people relate. Because if we take away everything that someone could possibly criticize, we're boring. We're boring. What makes us interesting is sometimes the things that are a little polarizing, right? Otherwise, we're just a freaking blank sheet of paper with no personality.
Right.
The things that, like, make me weird and that some people would be like, she's annoying, her voice is this, her voice is that. Those are the things that a lot of people relate to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I took all that away, I'd be pretty freaking boring.
Yeah. And that just makes you you.
Yes.
Yeah. So why would we want to change me to myself? This is literally me to me. Like, why would you want to change for others to be liked? I'm like, but you want others to just love you for who you are. Okay. All right. Here, it's a loop. It's the mental loop. You know, all of this is making me think about, I recently listened to Emma Chamberlain's podcast about social media.
Ooh.
And she talked about how at first when she would, she wasn't doing very well with red carpets because it was Getty Images and you don't really get to say to take them off or not. And she was like, I was just finding myself always with the Getty Images, not doing what I wanted them to do. And I would cry for days because they would take an action shot. Like they would intentionally take a picture that didn't make me look good. And they would use that in other tabloids and I'd be crying for days. And she said, as time goes on and it still happens, she's like, unfortunately, like I'll see a TikTok and people are just like, I'm ugly. I'm this. She's like, I guess it's made me stronger. And I like now know it doesn't take me days to get over it. It's just like a couple hours but she's like, I still feel it because I'm still human.
Yeah.
But I guess she just has like a thicker skin. So I kind of want to know, how long do you think it took for you to kind of stop feeling so like it, taking it so personal, especially with body image? Like,
I think body image was like a couple years. And then I figured that out. And then it was like personality stuff. And then even Kenzie was just saying, like, if you look at my vlogs from like 2-3 years ago, there's such a difference in how much more just like real I am now, where I don't feel like I'm like putting on this like performance. But I think what you were saying about the Emma Chamberlain podcast really clicked for me in that, like, let yourself feel it, but don't let it change you. I think that's the key. I think the whole idea of like, oh, like they're just haters. Like, just push it aside. It doesn't matter. It's like, yes, that's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
Let yourself feel it. If it hurts, it's okay. Like, we're all human, but don't let it change you.
Yeah. Yeah. And at first she was saying it just felt so raw. And there was moments where she's like, I don't even want to do this anymore. Like, did you ever have moments where you were like, maybe it'd be best if I didn't share my life online?
Yes. Only during like the body image part. I remember, I think I made a video about it. I was like crying in a hotel room because one of my videos went viral and got like reposted on a bunch of like body shaming sites. And so then the comments were just flooded with not just like one sentence criticizing me, like paragraphs about like everything that's wrong with me. And I was not yet in the headspace that I am now of like, now I would just be like, okay, I'm just not going to read comments for a few weeks. Let's let this pass. But then I was not there yet. And it was really hard. And I that was the closest I think I've been to walking away specifically because of criticism.
Wow.
we're just humans, man.
Right.
And that just reminds me every time when you see like people tearing, I hate to bring them up again, but the Kardashians, they like really come for them. Well, also they set the standard. We're not going to get into the whole thing.
Yeah,
but
right.
They're also still human beings. Like,
yeah.
I think when people get to that level, right? People no longer view them as human.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think Emma passed into that space of people just viewing her as like an entity and not a human.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happened with like JoJo Siwa as well. And mm-hmm. I just last night saw a TikTok from her on my For You page about like how she started like using glitter on her face to like hide her hairline because people made fun of her. And it's like that she was like 12.
Yeah.
Like that. And people were vicious. People made like adults made videos like mocking her.
I just want to know, seriously, like what I understand thinking that and like moving on, but what really compels you to like be like, let me type this out to make sure that like they read them? Or do they think that people don't read them? Like, because if not, then what's the purpose of saying it? I just don't think I've ever in my mind like understood why.
And you could think whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Dude, live your life. But it's so weird to
troll?
Me to go out of your way to mm-hmm. say something mean or like hurtful in any way. I don't know. I feel like I have a weird relationship with mean comments or I don't know. And obviously I don't get a lot of like hate or whatever yet, I'm sure. But I kind of look at them like roasts. I like to roast people and I like being roasted. So it feels like it's just like an LOL.
Yeah.
Obviously, if I'm insecure about something they're going to talk about, then I'm like, but for the most part, I try to look at comments, like mean comments or just things about like whatever, be like, oh yeah, got me, yeah. Girl. That was a good one. Me too. Because I feel like growing up, I took everything personally. Mm. Every comment that was made about my appearance, about how I acted from everyone, family, friends, everyone, I took that all personally. And I went and tried to be... We talked about this before. I like try to like change myself and try to like, you know, I shut down or whatever. And now I'm like, people are going to say whatever they're going to say. And that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. And
entitled to your wrong opinion.
Exactly. And if you say it well, it's probably funny and I'll probably laugh and move on.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's so powerful. Right. Laugh and move on.
Yeah.
With you posting more, kind of like viewing social media more as like a job now.
Mm-hmm.
How has that been for your mental health with like filming, editing, scheduling, all of that? Because I think that is a really hard part of trying to do social media that is not often talked about.
I feel like I'm having a great time. It's really fun. And I'm figuring out like my creative like process through this. I think the hardest thing for me right now, because I just hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Go subscribe to Ryan Christina.
Please do. As soon as I hit 1K, I was number watching like there was no tomorrow. Like every 5 seconds I was on the app looking, I was refreshing.
Yep.
Refreshing. And I was like so obsessed with it. And then on Instagram too, I was like, yes, just hit this. So yeah, I have goals, right? I'm like, okay, I would like to hit this number by, you know, the end of this month or whatever. But it started, I was literally like watching the numbers go up as they were going up, which is fine. Except it's not when that was the only thing I cared about. Like, it was like,
right.
Who cares about the content? Like, I'm out here, like, I got 1.14K and da-da-da, like, all this stuff, which is fine. But it started to stifle my creativity because I was like, what can I post that's gonna, like, do well?
Mm.
Versus, like, what do I post? Like, this is, you know, like, my regularly scheduled content. I was like, okay, well, like, let's think. Now there's 1,000 people. And now, like, I got to get to 2,000. I got to get like, so I am currently struggling with that, trying to not watch numbers as much.
Yeah.
Which is hard, obviously. But I think the other thing too, that I'm not, this isn't new. This is not new, but I do not have a lot of self-discipline. Mm. And when you do, like when this is your job, when it literally all depends on you, you got to have some self-discipline. You need to have like some sort of schedule, like some sort of like, I don't know, like plan.
Yeah.
Because I end up just like posting whenever. Not like YouTube, but Instagram and TikTok is kind of like, oh, I'm out doing this. I'm just going to post this.
Yeah.
Which kind of takes me out of one, the moment of like being there. And two, like, it's not as good as it could be if I had like sat down, planned out my stuff.
We talk about this all the time.
And then I could post, because if you're like living in that moment, like, okay, I know I got to do this. So I'm going to post right now. Like, I have to post right now.
I know. Well, we talked, but we were on a trip into Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
The trip that she saw, that she ran into the influencer.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to figure out if she was posting in real time because her Instagram stories are so aesthetically pretty and things like that.
It
looks so effortless, but also so planned. But then we realized when we were trying to like run into her and see where she was, we're like checking her story and she's like at live posting. So wow. So I'm asking Ryan, I'm like, are we doing it wrong? Like, should we be living our lives and like posting right in that moment? Because what I've been doing is I take the picture. And then later, so I can stay present, I'll come back to it and then upload it. But then what happens is you don't post it, you lose the excitement. So we're trying to find that balance of like,
yeah,
what is scheduled, but like, I don't know. Sierra, how do you do?
Okay, so I've always just like posted in the moment, but I do agree it takes you out of the moment, right? Because it's one thing to just take a quick video, take a quick photo, and then put the phone back in the pocket and continue being
right.
present. It's another thing to take it and then sit there and think of the caption, write it, edit it, add some music, add some text. And so I, just a couple weeks, months ago, really recently, I started posting, like you said, like later.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So like I'll take photos, I'll take videos, and then I'll post it later. And at first I noticed that I wasn't posting them. I would just take it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And it just lives in your camera roll. Yeah.
And then I never do anything with it.
Right.
And so I'm still figuring that out. But what I've started doing is I'll take like a bunch of photos and videos and I won't even try to think about what I'm going to do with it later. Cause that's the problem. I take it and I go, this will be an excellent Instagram story. And then I'm going to repost it on TikTok and da 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 da.
Right.
I try to literally not even think about what the content is for. Just film it when I feel like it.
Ooh.
And then that night when I'm laying in bed, which I usually would just scroll TikTok, scroll whatever, I create everything, but I don't post it right then because I'm not going to post it like 11 p.m.
Right.
And then I post it the next day.
Okay, that's nice. I like
it. And
I just have to remember to come back to it like immediately because if not, I feel like once the days go by, they feel so expired.
Yes. So do it that night. I think that's the difference. The first time I did that was at Disneyland because we were going on this trip. It was Grace's first time at Disneyland. I knew I wanted to document it, but I didn't want to spend all that time writing captions.
Right, right. You're like, take a picture of the parade and then all of a sudden you're like in the phone and then you miss half of it.
Yes.
Right.
So I did like the recaps on my phone the day after and that was great. And it also, I think, sometimes can be good for safety. If I'm somewhere alone with Grace, I am not going to post that while I'm there.
Okay.
And so then when I get home, then I'll post it. And then she's napping. I've got some time to myself. I'll post what I want to post.
You see, Peyton, that's how we found you.
That's exactly.
Oh yeah, you got to say who the influencer was.
Peyton Sarton. That's literally how we found her.
Yeah,
because she was on the stories,
we got to protect ourselves from the Ryan and Palomas of
the world. You're right. I don't know Paloma. To protect yourself from Paloma because she dragged me. She forced me to talk
it's
to her.
She, okay, you guys, to be honest, it's because that's her like favorite influencer, and she was like, no, what am I going to say? Like, no, I literally grabbed her by the wrist. I was like dragging her through the casino quickly because I could see that she was running away. I was like, this is our one in a lifetime opportunity. Like, we have to go say hi to her. At least tell her like how much her content means to you, Ryan.
Right.
Like, no. I was like, go. I literally pushed her and was like, I'll meet you at the other end. And I'm like recording them, like say hello.
Yeah.
It
was a great experience. She was so nice.
Oh, I have absolutely done that at Disneyland for influencers I follow. Like if I'm at Disneyland and I see someone like a celebrity or something at Disneyland, I'm like, okay, on their stories, they were at Splash Mountain 2 minutes ago. I'm at Winnie the Pooh. I can get over there. And then just casually run into them.
Oh,
so like, I get it.
Well, that's kind of what happened with one of the viewers that saw, because I posted that I was vlogging at Disneyland on my story.
Yeah.
And that viewer sent me a message from like a reply to that and was like, oh, I'm at Disneyland too. And then like 20 minutes later, found us.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I didn't know about that.
Oh yeah. I went back in like my messages and I saw that she had like said like, oh my gosh, I'm here too. And then like 20 minutes later, found us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And I think right when you're posting in a public place, when you're posting about that, that's like totally fine. I think that's like, if you're posting about it, like that's okay. But like if I'm alone at a park with Grace.
Oh yeah, that's
right.
Not posting about it now.
Right.
So that's when I started doing like the delayed posting. But I do think it's been better for my mental health. And it's helped me to be more present because I think I sometimes fall into that trap of like, if I didn't post about it, did it really happen?
Ooh.
Yes.
Which is, ugh.
No, that's huge.
People say that. Like, you know, they're like, if you didn't post about it, did it happen? Or just like the outfit. Like, if you didn't post the outfit, did you actually wear it or something like that?
Yeah.
And I don't like that. it makes me feel compelled to post, like I have to.
Yeah.
Rather than I'm sharing this because I want to.
And I'm excited about guys seeing that. Like, and that actually happens with us when we're talking about something. We're like, oh, our viewers would totally love to hear this information because it's like so not just juicy, but like relatable and like, oh my gosh.
I also feel like, and this, I mean, this might be like a personal thing that I'm dealing with, but because I do really, really like the aesthetically pleasing photos and videos and stuff, and that's why I do think I really like Instagram,
mm-hmm.
I fall into like, I need to show this because this looks like I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. It looks like, I went to the mall with my mom and her sister, and we went to the Nike store, and I was like, I have to take a picture of the Nike store because I'm going to Nike. I'm going to buy all the stuff in there, and everybody needs to know that I'm going in there to buy Nikes. Like, no one knows, no one cares. But I really felt like it was like I told them to wait. I was like, hold on, I need to go and take a picture of Nike. It was so ridiculous, and I was thinking about that.
But like, that was great content. I was like, look at Ryan shopping. She got Converse.
I did. Oh my gosh, you guys, I did get Converse, and they're so cute.
Cute.
They're
what color?
So cute. They're white. They're all white, but they're like kind of platform.
Cute.
In like canvas, which like I knew usually don't wear like tall shoes because I'm already tall, but like I was like, I'm stomping on bitches these days. Let's go. Like
I love it.
Yeah.
But yes, I think I fall into that trap of like, I'm doing something exciting. I have to post about it or I have to vlog. And I started and I think that makes sense, right? You want to post about the highlights, the most exciting things you're doing. But for a while, I think a couple years ago, it was like, I didn't do fun things off camera. Because if I was doing something fun, I was going to film it or vlog it or make an Instagram story. Like some sort of content is coming out of this. And so I've started intentionally not filming, posting on some really fun activities we're doing. Like we went to San Francisco and I was like, I'm not going to vlog. And we took a couple photos. I ended up posting like a photo dump at the end. And that was great. But it allowed me to feel like not everything I do has to be for content, you know? Yeah. And I, it's hard, right? Because you're like, well, I'm going to San Francisco. This is freaking fun. I want to show it.
Yeah.
But I think I've tried to say, I'm allowed to do fun things just for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm such on a micro level. But since I'm trying to like really do stuff that's food based, I obviously eat like many times during the day, multiple times, where I've now have my like mom, my dad and my boyfriend being like, are you going to shoot that? Are you going to? And I'm like, no, it's okay. Like we were at Din Tai Fung. And my mom was like, oh my God, stop. Like you need to shoot your.
So sweet.
So precious. Like I love her for that. And I was like, no, mom, like it's okay. Like she was like, but Paloma, you need. And I was like, but sometimes I want. And I was like, and I need to establish that I'm not recording every meal because I got to a point where every single meal I was recording myself.
True.
And then Ryan's
Ryan knows.
We're at lunch. It's her, me, and the video camera. So.
Yeah, no, right.
And so I just, in that moment, was like a small step of like, no, mom, I don't need to shoot everything. And like this time I just want it to be special and just us. And I was like, well, look at me go boundaries.
Yeah, right.
Do you guys ever feel guilty when you do something that could have been good content and you don't?
Yes, but I think that's the problem. We are afraid of that feeling of, oh, we should have shot that. And that's why we shoot so much.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, like we're always trying to get content because that'd be such great content. That'd be amazing.
No, yeah.
And then you didn't shoot and you're like, I can't believe I wasn't shooting.
And I think everyone, a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people feel that way who aren't even, you know, trying to be influencers. People who they just, it's this feeling like, oh, I'm doing something fun. I should share it. I should show it. Ugh. I didn't even get a photo. I didn't even get a video.
Right.
But like, if you didn't, that means you were present in the moment and you were usually having so much fun that you didn't think to take it out.
Yeah.
Which is great for your mental health.
It is. Yeah.
You guys, I just went to the theater and I went to go see Moulin Rouge and I was like, we were like running late. And I was like, you know, you got to get the pic with the playbill and the stage. And I was like, I would remember like rushing and I was like, I'm not going to get that picture. I was like, wait a minute, girl, relax. Like you don't need to get that picture. But and I mean, I did arrive. I did get the picture.
She did, in fact, get the picture.
But in that moment, I was like, this was not necessary. Like,
is it the one where you're holding it in front of the stage?
Yeah, holding the playbill in front of the stage first time.
Yep.
And you look around and everyone's doing the same picture. They're holding up the playbill right in front of the stage right before the show starts.
Right.
And I remember being like, it's okay if you don't make it. Like, it's really not that deep. But did you even see the show, though?
Right.
If you didn't post the playbill.
Right.
I think having Steven has really helped me to stay grounded about that stuff because he's the one who will remind me, you don't need the playbill photo. Like, it's okay. Take it if you want to, but like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to do this. Do you want to do this? You don't have to. The world will not end if you don't get this photo or film this thing. And it kind of brings me back down to earth where I'm like, you're right. It's fine. It's not a big deal. I don't have to make everything content. I can't imagine how hard it would be to be dating someone who is an influencer who is not in that mindset. Like, I see these like TikTok couples and stuff who like everything is content. And it's like, I can imagine if instead of Steven saying that to me, he was like, hurry, we have to get the content.
Right.
What are we going to do? We're going to lose everything. That would feed into, oh my God, I have to get the content.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's why it's so important to surround yourself with people who kind of bring you back down to earth.
Yeah.
Of your mom being like, you will not die if you don't get the Playbill photo. Right. Like, that's important.
Yeah.
I've thought about that. Obviously, as we all know, I'm very single. And I was like, would I date an influencer? Like, would I date a content creator? And honestly, I don't know. It's giving athlete a little bit, and I don't really know if I want to like date like famous athletes. Like, that feels like maybe not my tea. But I'm like, in my head, I'm like, that would make great content.
Yeah.
If I did date somebody who got it and like knew what was going on, also would avoid me like having to explain stuff because they would just like get it. But also, like, then there's cameras all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, is this for the camera? Did you buy me 3,000 roses for the camera? Or did you buy me 3,000 roses because you love me?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't know who to believe.
Well, would you still be an influencer while dating this influencer?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's things that you would do for that person that I'm sure would not be for the content. You know, like, would you be just like a person that, but since you understand, maybe it could work out because you guys would have this understanding of this is for shooting and this is just personal time.
Mm.
I think the ideal is like dating someone who's like adjacent to the industry, but not an influencer.
Yeah.
Or dating someone who like isn't at all involved in it, but is like down to be on camera a little bit.
Yeah.
You know who I think did it like super well is Remy Cruz.
Yes.
She like started dating her boyfriend. She talked about it. So it wasn't like the secret that she had a boyfriend, but she didn't show him. And she waited like a long time for the boyfriend reveal. And I feel like that's so good because I'm sure they were able to like establish a relationship off camera that isn't you bought me this so that it's on camera.
Yeah.
It's obviously not because I'm not showing you. But then now like he's in her vlogs.
Yeah.
But then also sometimes she'll vlog and be like, oh, Cal doesn't want to be on camera today. And I'm like, good for you. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Like do that. And Steven does the same thing. Like, sometimes he's down to be on camera. Sometimes he's not. We respect that. And I think that's like kind of ideal of like, get the relationship, figure things out. Don't vlog the first date or maybe vlog the first date, but don't show them.
Yeah.
You know, vlog yourself getting ready.
It's so funny because I don't know if you listened to this episode of Pretty Basic like years ago when they first started, but like Remy went on a date with some guy and she filmed it and they went to Disneyland. It was a whole thing. And he like used her. He like totally used her.
That's where their whole content baby content came, right? Yeah.
Because he went on a date with her, whatever, did this whole thing. And then like something happened and it didn't work out. But then he started making content after everybody started following him on Instagram and everything. Crazy.
Isn't that like so yucky?
So drama.
Yeah.
That is so ugly.
It's so ugly.
Oh my gosh. I don't like that at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So to avoid that too, because it's not like he didn't know who she was and like all this stuff. Like
he had a reason.
If you're an influencer, you have to find someone who respects that and doesn't like make fun of you. Because I think it's kind of fun to shit on influencers. And like, I get it. Influencers in the wild, hilarious.
Hysterical. Right.
But also like, that's your job.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're trying to make it your job. You're trying to make it. It's your passion. You're putting time into it.
Yeah.
And filming in public is a little embarrassing. The last thing you need is someone being like, oh, look at you taking Instagram photos.
Right.
You're like, babes, I already feel insecure about it. Don't add to it.
It feels so good when like Steven hypes me up while he's like taking pictures in public. Cause like, I know it makes him feel awkward too, but he'll be like, yes. Oh my God. You got this. So good. Oh, so beautiful. And I'm like, okay. Like, yeah, this is not so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Aww.
And I can't imagine how hard it is when someone's like, this is so cringy and this and that.
Me to them. I'm so sorry that I'm making money off this Instagram post and you post and you don't get anything. I'm so sorry.
Well, and also I think like it's just disrespectful. You wouldn't be that way about their job, even if you think it's stupid and boring.
Yeah. I know,
right.
Honestly, and I just live this now again, trying to shoot at Disneyland. I was like, Paloma, you can't be shy about it because there's obviously thousands of people. And I'm like, nobody cares about what you're doing. Just record yourself. Who cares? And I remember telling Ryan after I shot the first bit of where I was eating. And I was like, girl, I was shaking. Like, I was just so stressed. And not only was I shooting around other people, but I had my boyfriend and Ryan there. And like, I have them watching, not that they've never seen me do any sort of vlogging before, but it's just like, you have like, I'm like,
an audience, a live audience.
Yeah, a live audience. And I'm like, I don't want to let you guys down or like look dumb. And then there I am spilling food every 5 seconds. and it's just, but I feel so safe and like comfortable around them. But even then, like you still have that like piece of like, oh my gosh, am I being embarrassing? Am I being embarrassing? And you're just like in public. So yeah. Just hype your friends up.
Me and my room vlogging. I'm like, I'm about to vlog. Everyone, don't listen to me. Go in your room. Shut the door.
Headphones on. Yeah. I'm vlogging.
Yeah. Every time.
Okay, do you guys have a social media that you feel like does not negatively affect your mental health? Like a social media platform that you're like, I go on this and I feel good.
TikTok.
I was going to say the same.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about TikTok. I go on there. I laugh.
It's because it's so real and it shows like, honestly, like the silliest things.
Yeah, like, it's like just
girls
dumb
are,
stuff.
Yeah, girls are just like in their big t-shirt and like telling with their bun on the top, like, okay, so this crazy thing happened to me today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like filtered. Or and
I think
anything.
The algorithm is so specific too. I don't see content that I wouldn't
that you
like.
Don't want to see. Yeah, totally.
Because I'm sure there is stuff on TikTok that's like not body positive. That's like really like negative.
You're so right.
I'm sure it's there.
You're so right.
I just don't see it.
You're so right, though.
But on Instagram, I see it.
I don't see that kind of stuff.
How do you guys feel like social media as a whole impacts your mental health? Like not even necessarily being the content creator, but being the content consumer.
If I can regulate it, like social media used to have an impact in a negative way when I was just following like a lot of people that I don't think were like my curated for you. So once I started following who I actually wanted to follow and made me feel good, like accounts that actually did make me feel good, I did have a positive. And now my feed is, or at least on Instagram and stuff like that, only things that I want to see. So I don't leave feeling like, ugh, about it. I don't know. I feel good now when I check social media.
That's so good.
Yeah, just from removing like certain people.
It's so funny because I follow like a bunch of different people, you know, influencers and like celebrities or whatever, but my issues don't lie with like seeing like negative things or like feeling bad about myself. It's with like people in real life that I struggle with. Like seeing stuff with like people that I know or used to know and all that stuff, like that stuff that affects me.
Maybe unfollow.
No, I know. But it's even people that I care about and too, and I'm like,
wait, you guys, how do we make unfollows not feel so personal? Because I do have friends from like, because like you're saying right now, people you used to know, and I'm sure that you're not dying to consume their content anymore, but I don't want to unfollow them because then it feels like I'm no longer your friend. Y'all, and it's like being mean.
I have so many people muted because I'm like, I cannot unfollow you because I don't want to hurt your feelings or you to feel like I don't like you. I just don't. I'm not interested in what you're posting.
Yeah.
And amen. So I have so many people muted. Like people from high school. I'm like, I don't need to, but then maybe I should just unfollow them. But do you know how awkward it is to run into someone in person that you unfollowed? A couple times I've met influencers, other influencers at like a convention, followed them. And then a couple months go by and they post something that I'm like, oh, yikes.
No.
Not endorsing that. And then I run into them.
They didn't bring it up. They didn't.
And no, they never bring it up.
Oh.
But then they'll mention something about like my content and I'm like, you follow me, but I don't follow you. And
right.
That was purposeful. And how does that change when it's someone you actually like know in your personal life?
Tragic, especially if they bring up the fact that, oh my God, you unfollowed me on Instagram.
Someone's done that to you?
Yes. And
what do you say?
I literally was like, oh my gosh. I honestly, probably a lot.
You probably play dumb. Like, oh my God, I didn't even know. Like, sorry, like my Instagram be acting up.
I got hacked.
But also like, what's the answer they're looking for?
I don't know.
Yeah, I did.
You shared that infographic that I thought was like really, really bad and harmful. And so I just decided to unfollow you. But yeah, how's your family?
Right. It's just looking for conflict, it feels like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what? We just have to mute? We can't unfollow?
I also find it odd when people like announce that they're unfollowing you. Don't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like if they're like, I'm unfollowing you because this, that, and the third, right?
Yeah, it's like, Just do it.
Or the people going, hey guys, so I'm going to be cleaning through my following followers. If I remove you, it's not personal. I'm like, well, now it feels personal.
Now it does feel personal.
But it's not personal. Do you guys, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think sometimes obviously it can be right. If like something happens and I'm like, I don't want to follow you anymore. We are not friends. I don't like you or whatever. That's personal. That's fine. Right. But like, if you're just seeing something that you don't want to see or someone you really don't care about, like again, like we were saying, people from high school, like I haven't talked to you. I'm not gonna talk to you.
Right.
I don't care about your life. And not in a non-mean way, but like, it just, just don't.
See, part of me is like, yeah, let's normalize unfollowing people. And then I think about when I see someone that I actually personally do know has unfollowed me. I'm like, what did I do?
Right.
What did I post that like made them not like me anymore? So it's very easy when you're the one being doing the unfollowing.
Right.
Normalize unfollowing people. Like it doesn't matter. And then
but like with me, I deserve an explanation.
Yeah. Everyone else should be cool with it, except I deserve an explanation.
Yeah.
We got to solve this, ladies. But I guess it's muting. That's smart.
Yeah. Just muting. Unless you really are like, I don't even care. It's not happening. Unfollow. Just like, it doesn't matter.
Well, something that I've run into too, as my platform has grown, is publicly following someone a lot of people view as an endorsement of them, their beliefs, and who they are. And so I would follow people who I liked their content. I didn't know anything about like their political beliefs, their personal beliefs. And then all of a sudden I'm getting DMs of like, how could you follow this person? And then I look into it and I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's also happened a lot with like meeting influencers, you know, meeting someone at a convention. It's very normal to be like, oh, what's your Instagram? Like, let me follow you. I'm not sitting there vetting everything that they've ever posted.
Right.
Something happened a while back where there was a huge, huge scandal with a mom influencer who I had met at Clamor a few years earlier. I mean, huge, horrible what she did. Just awful, awful, awful. But I'm getting messages from people being like, how could you follow this person? Oh my gosh, how could you stand for this? I had no idea what was going on.
Right.
And then I look into it and I'm like, oh my gosh, unfollow.
Right.
Yeah.
But just by following that person, I didn't post anything in their support. I didn't know what was going on. Following that person is an endorsement.
Yeah. People are assuming that that's the kind of content you like to consume and you support
that. Right? Yeah.
So I think that's something I've had to be more careful with is like, okay, if anyone I'm following, people could view as like me endorsing who they are, which is like a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure, especially like we've been on, not YouTube, we've been on Instagram. I mean, what, 2012 is when Instagram came out?
Yep.
I was on, just like you were saying, like I was like on there immediately, like very, very quickly. And I was just following literally anyone.
Same.
All people. Didn't matter.
I followed back anyone who followed
anybody.
Me. Anyone.
Yep.
Anyone.
And then after, right, when Instagram started becoming like, I don't even know what the word
mainstream.
Is.
Mainstream.
Influencery.
Influencery, yeah, mainstream. And then everybody started getting it. You kind of be like, oh. Also, wait, okay, this is like not relevant. But remember when you like checked your following and their followers and like you always had to have more followers than you did following?
Did you guys ever have those unfollowing apps that would like show you who unfollowed you?
Yes.
I had those.
Yes.
I had those. And I would like, I would check it every like
week
or so.
That shit was personal.
Yes. I honestly don't even think it was because like the follower count that I had him. I wanted to make sure that if you unfollowed me, then I don't
unfollowing you.
I'm following you too because, okay.
I was confronting.
I said, you were the person going up to pee.
Yeah,
also,
like, so
I heard
happened?
You unfollowed me.
So what happened?
All right, the cat's out of the bag. It was Ryan. He came up to me. And then since then, couldn't look back.
Yeah. high school vibes. But it was just like, because it was like a social status thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the girl at your high school who had like 1,000 followers on Instagram.
Yes,
it's like
she was
the shit.
She was the influencer without like being like even being like an influencer.
There was a girl at my high school who had a YouTube channel that had 50,000 subscribers. And when I tell you she was a celebrity, oh, my gosh.
I want to know how it is being in high school with Instagram and how important it is to like your status
God,
and like being popular or not, because I was talking to my brother's girlfriend. I was like, I don't think that I'd be in a good mental health, a positive mental space if I was in high school during Instagram. Because what if like the followers weren't doing the thing? Like all of that, like it was kind of like Facebook, right? Where it's like you saw the top five that you kind of got some ranking there. And then if Instagram was going, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have 5 followers. Nobody likes me. And just like,
yeah, that's
it's important. It's status, I feel now.
Yeah.
I see a lot of high schoolers now pulling away from it. I say a lot. My brother and his girlfriend both have no social media.
That's happening too. My brother, they've confirmed that's happening too.
Yeah.
He still has like his public profile, but he's deleted the app and he maybe posts like twice a year.
Right.
And like that's it. And like he doesn't go on it. He doesn't think about it. And I'm like, that's pretty freaking cool. Like good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what he's really into that I've been hearing a ton about? It's like the anti-social media. It's called Be Real. Have you guys heard about this?
No.
No.
So it's an app, and I don't have it. Maybe we should all get it.
Okay, it's tell me more. App
that it sends out, you don't like post on it normally. It's not like Instagram. Once a day at a random time, it sends out a notification to everyone at the same time. And you have like, I think 15 minutes or like 30 minutes or something to like take a photo of whatever you're doing. No editing, can't upload anything. It's just directly in the app. And then everyone that you're like friends with, because you have to be mutual friends. You can't like, I think so. I think you can't like just follow, like, follow people. Like, maybe you can, I don't know. But like then you just see what everyone was doing at that exact time of the day.
I love that. And it feels definitely more real rather than like.
Well, I have some questions.
Yeah.
So you take a picture of what, like whatever, I guess you want to take a picture of, and you have a time frame.
Uh-huh.
And then that's it.
Yep. And then you get
to like, comment.
No idea. I don't have it.
We should get it and find out what the
T. Yeah. Because I think that the idea of that, right, is like you're still sharing a highlight of your day, something that's going on. But you're not constantly doing that thing where you're like, oh, I should make content of this. I should film this. I should do this.
It's the timer that just lets you know.
Yes, because it doesn't. If you go out and you're like, oh, man, we should have filmed that. It's like, well, you only get to post when it tells you to post.
Mm. That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah. I first heard about it when we were at Clamor because our friend Tyler has it. And he was saying he is friends on Be Real with like a couple like industry people involved in YouTube. So like big like CEOs and stuff of like some of these companies and platforms, and seeing their Be Real notifications is very grounding because you think that they're doing all these amazing things, but most of the time it's like them with their dog.
Right.
Right.
And it's like grounding. It's like, oh,
they're humans.
This like big deal hotshot person is just like hiking chilling with his dog. And I feel like that's kind of cool.
No, that is kind of
cool. Us being like, oh my gosh, not them just hiking. They're totally human, but yeah, it just like it blows our mind to find out what people are actually doing.
Yeah.
So maybe should we all download Be Real?
I think I'm should.
Like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Okay.
It's number one in social networking. Yeah, it's above WhatsApp, Facebook, Messenger, Discord, all this stuff. It's like popping off right now.
Okay. But when things start to pop off, things start to change.
Yes.
So do you think that like this is going to be different?
I feel like me explaining every way it could possibly go. I was going to say, I feel like it could go one of three ways. Number one, it stays the same. Number two, it like blows up and like everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
Or number three, it like fizzles out. Like, do you guys remember what was that like chat room app that everyone? Kick? No. It was like video chats. Or not video, it was audio. Do you guys remember what it was?
Oh, I do remember that one.
It was orange, huh?
Yes.
Oh my God, what is it?
Everyone in the YouTube industry was talking about it too, because like all of these like big creators were on it.
I know exactly what it is. Uvu?
Oh, no, that was the video. That was where. No. That's okay, like chat roulette. But
you do remember it.
You're right. I do. I totally remember
it. And then Twitter tried to like copy it by making like audio rooms, and it didn't super take off.
Oh my gosh. It's like contacts using Be Real, and it's like a zillion people. Am I late to the party?
You have contacts in Be Real?
Yeah, it says contacts using Be Real. Like, I have more than like 20 people here. Oh my gosh, Jaden.
Jaden, so our production assistant, Jaden, is the one who told us about it. But she's very with it. She's 19.
I'm only adding Jaden and moving.
Yep. Oh my God, there's so many.
I'm telling you.
I hope no one's taken Schultz yet. Oh, that's another thing with being an influencer is whenever there's a new social media app, and even if I don't want to use it, I have to go on and reserve my name. Otherwise, someone will pretend to be me, which has happened. A lot of people make like fake Tinders for me, which is very awkward.
Not Tinder.
I know. Like, I'll get messages of people being like, hey, saw you on Tinder. And I'm like, I am definitely not on Tinder.
Steven's like, saw who you on where?
Yeah. Who on what? But then people have made fake ones for Steven, too. Isn't that weird?
What do you get out of that?
Oh my God, I have so many contacts.
All of a sudden, the countdown just started, you guys. I have 2 minutes.
Take a picture.
Wait.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Not that being your first
one. Does that
one
have to be mine too? Click on. Okay, wait, I want to take do my it very first it. Be Real. Oh my God.
My friends only. Oh, I have none. It's okay. Send.
Okay, I've got a minute and 50 seconds. Okay. P, can you lean? One, two, three. My first Be Real.
I
want
to do it. Wait. I don't know how this is going to work because I'm in the middle.
Oh my God. It's showing my address. How do I take that off? Delete.
Oh, hell no.
Oh my gosh.
Location off.
I'm just going to take a picture.
Why is that like the default? Okay, post my address.
Oh yeah. You need to fix that because it's
I'm doing that. I'm literally doing that right now.
Oh, so you can have a public account. Okay. I'm going to make my account public. You can go follow me on Be Real. It's at Schultzy.
Me too. Mine's at Ryan Christina. Go follow me.
I'm Paloma Malfavon, same thing as Instagram.
Wait, what is this? How do I roast?
Oh, crap. It shows both sides of the camera.
How do you turn that off?
That's my foot.
I only have 1 minute.
Oh, my God. I'm going to be on Wiki Feet. It's literally just my foot because I was, oh, gosh. Can I redo it?
I have no idea. Oh my God. I simply don't know.
Wait, 0 to 10 friends retake? Okay, why is it locked on retake options? I need to turn off this.
I need to like.
Wait, I have to read.
Your friends haven't posted. I don't have any friends.
I have to add 10 more friends to
add
get
friends.
Retake.
Oh, okay.
Wait, look at this discovery. Who are these random people?
Okay, my first photo is a cute selfie of us and then my thumb covering half the screen and then my foot. So,
okay, very good, very good.
Excellent.
What's your name,
Schultzy? Add
Who
friends.
Are you?
This is interesting, y'all.
A bunch of influencers that I have their contact for have accounts with like secret names, like not their name. So they have like private people accounts. That's cool.
Right, be real.
There's my brother. Okay, well, I need 10 friends. Bethany. I need 10 friends so I can retake my foot pic. Do I have 10? Do I have 10?
I'm trying to
add. My gosh. No, they have to add me back. So I'm. It's just going to be my foot pic. Okay. Well, add us on Be Real.
Yes.
I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation about social media, content creation, mental health, and how all of those things intersect. Make sure to give us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or YouTube.
And you can watch us on Spotify now.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes.
The video version is now on Spotify as well. So you very well may be watching this. On Spotify.
On Spotify.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Send screenshots. I want to see.
Yeah.
Okay, so my friend actually said that she tried to screenshot it to show me, and she said it just went blank. Black screen. So I don't know if you can do that. Maybe you can record
maybe
the
you can screen.
Screen
I don't know.
But she tried screenshotting, and it didn't work. So
well, interesting.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Well, we will see you guys next week.
Bye.